Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back once again with our weekly look at the world of non-league football, back alongside Mr. Dave Anderson too. Welcome back, Dave.
Good afternoon.
It's getting darker by the moment, Dave. We're starting in the afternoon, it's evening. Every week of my life seems to get more surreal at the moment, as I'm sure it is for many people, but even more so in the world of non-league. We've got the National League clubs furnished with their resolutions to decide the future of the season, but then looking at various clubs making pronouncements and announcements, it seems to be even more unsure than it was ever before.
Yeah, they're in a difficult situation. I understand the difficulty of it. I think that the fact that there was no minutes and we've gone through all that stuff, but you have to move on and fix it. So they've put out a questionnaire that I've, to be fair, had to read it four times before I could understand any of it. But that's more to do with me than them. But when you get your head around it, you certainly understand the questions. If I'm being blunt, you understand the questions they're putting over, and you understand why they're putting them over. I think it's a fair deal. I think it's a fair questionnaire, and the options you have are fair on it as well. I can't say more than that. My gut reaction says that the National will play on to keep the promotion places, and the North and South will cease to play, therefore meaning there'll be no relegation out of the National. I could be wrong. I'm picking a horse before the horse race starts, so don't beat me up if I get it wrong. I'm just trying to be honest.
And obviously, that we've got until the end of the month before these resolutions are supposed to be decided anyway. So there's still lots of jostling, shall we say. It's a bit like we're all lining up for a corner at the moment. You've got some clubs have already put their hands up and said, this is where we're going to go. You've got other clubs, I've seen Yeovil, I think today, saying that, you know, clubs should delay making any decisions because there's some more PR that can be done. Maybe the government can be forced to make a turning, or there may be other routes of funding and things like that. So they're looking at trying to, you know, use the full 28 days as much as possible. And you've got clubs like Chester that saying they still don't think that they can really decide without any clarification on all the points. So we've made another step nearer finding out how the season's going to pan out. We've still got games going on. We've still got the suspension of North and South looking like that's going to lift and continue at least for a little bit until there's final decisions made. The world's a strange place, but non-league is probably one of the strangest places to be involved in at the moment.
Oh, it is. It's listen, there's always more questions and answers in life, but it seems to be at the moment there's 10 times more questions than answers. I think the social media thing means people are voicing their opinion on it, which makes it a bit more transparent for me. I don't mind that. I don't mind that some teams say we should play on, some teams say we shouldn't, and da da da. I don't mind that. I think that's all healthy debate. And I think that, you know, people go, well, they're looking after themselves. Of course they are. That's the nature of the beast in football. Look after yourself. You know, the bottom line is that the questionnaire gives everybody a chance to look after themselves, and then they'll have to go with democracy, you know, within it. So it's, what is the right answer to this? The right answer is that you're going to have to go with a majority on the questionnaire, because you never, ever, ever get everyone to agree. I think we've said that from day one. We won't get any complete definition until the government makes it absolutely clear that there is no grant and that people will be funding it themselves. And the bigger question that's sort of starting to get acknowledged now, and I've sort of kicked up a bit about it as well, is this should all be secondary to people being tested. Mm-hmm. Testing should be first. So everybody in North and South and in the National, they should be tested a minimum of once a week, and their staff. And if they can't do that, then I don't think they should be allowed to play. I think the government should impose it. I also think the government should pay for it. But I think it should be imposed by the government. And here's the money to do it, or we'll send you the tests. We'll not give you money. We'll send you the tests to do it.
So it's unprecedented times we operate in. Disarray would probably be the perfect world for the current state of non-league, as clubs consider resolutions, options, the long, medium and immediate futures of their seasons and all around us. And this news this week that an old friend of the show had stepped away from a role as manager in the National League came as a shock, but almost one fitting with the era we operate in. To tell us more, and I'm very pleased to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, former manager at Wiltshire, Mr. Dean Brennan.
Evening, Tim. How's it going, pal?
Well, we're yes. Good, Dean, because we're busy doing a show. What about yourself? You're slightly quiet end of the week.
Well, yeah, it was midweek. It was Tuesday. And since then, to be fair, my phone hasn't stopped. It's been blown off the hook. And a lot of great messages from a lot of good people in football. There is a lot of good people in football, but a lot of really good conversations with different managers. And conversations, obviously, with a few of the players that were so loyal to me at Wealdstone. So, yeah, it's been busy. It's been a hectic 48 hours.
Well, let me start with a little additional statement that the club appeared to have put out earlier today on Thursday morning, Thursday lunchtime, which I think sort of seems to set the scene. Over the last couple of months, the board were concerned over some controllable aspects of the first team. Whilst these were not enough to consider Dean's immediate future, it did convince the board that they would not currently be offering him a new contract in the summer. Given this decision, Dean felt that he was not in the position to continue in his role, and upon discussion, Dean left the club with immediate effect. A fair reflection of the situation, Dean?
I wouldn't say a fair reflection.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a fair reflection, you know. I showed a lot of loyalty to the football club. My players were unbelievably loyal to me. I got every ounce out of the players. And I went into a football club, which I thanked them for the opportunity back in May 2019. I have to thank them for that. And I come out of the football club a much better manager and a much more experienced manager, much more knowledge. And I had success. The remit in that last year was to get in the top 10. We won the division, all right, by points per game, but we won the division on a budget that was halved from the previous management. And then this year, it's the lowest budget within the division. But I knew them ramifications. You know, I think I leave the football club with two games in hand. And I leave the football club 6 points away from the relegation zone. And the aim was to get 50 points all along. So I leave it in a really healthy position. But I want to go on record as really thanking my players. The loyalty they showed to me was unbelievable. A lot of them lads could have got much better deals elsewhere. Well, they were offered much better deals elsewhere. But that's football. That's how it goes. And we move on.
Yeah, Dean. Listen, a couple of things. One, it's no secret. You know, we're friends. Two, it's no secret I've been around Wilson because of the non-league show. You know, I've been in to see a few games and talked to a few different people to do our show. And thanks to you, I get into the office. I get to see behind the scenes. I went and watched the training session just before one of the games. So I want people to know that. I spoke to you Tuesday lunchtime as we would catch up every now and again to say, how are you? What are you? And we were discussing, you were talking about you were trying to work out a way to get the guys in an extra day. And I always, listen, I'm going to say it because it's what you said to me at the time. You went, look, I'm just trying to work a way. We're trying to save some money. I'm trying to work a way of getting the guys in an extra day. And your words to me were, but I don't want to firefight with my chairman. That was more or less your words. And I went, yeah, yeah. Anyway, listen, we'll speak later in a week. I went away and did a few things. And to be fair, I don't know what your phone was like, but I've had about 8 different missed messages with people going, what's going on at Wilkeston? And I actually texted the first one, who's a mate of mine. I went, what do you mean? I thought, is there, you know, has the ground been flooded? Is it burnt down? You know, I was absolutely stunned when I read that you'd left. Now, that's me, and I'm as close to the situation, I would say closer than anyone outside of your football club, or as close as anyone outside the football club. Tell me what happened after I hung up. Where did it come from?
That afternoon, someone told me that Wealdstone, the chairman, had been chatting to someone in football, the manager's out of work. Obviously, I approached him on that. But if you went back 8 weeks, you know, I stayed loyal to the football club and could have left to go to a very ambitious football club, by the way, seriously ambitious football club that don't want to mess about. And I stayed loyal. There's not much loyalty in football. And I stayed loyal to my players. I stayed loyal to our supporters who have been unbelievable to me. When I first went to Wealdstone, I had people telling me, them supporters, you know, I was looking at them going, these are passionate. These are passionate. And if I can get them and all of us in it together, which I've managed to do, with our supporters in it together, and in it together with the players and certain members of staff, I managed to be able to do that and create that environment, and that brought success, you know, and people come to the football club for the right reasons. So I was told that by a very good source that that was going on and my job was offered to somebody else. So I approached the chairman with it and I sort of said, look, I was promised a contract when I decided not to go to another football club. And I was clear and transparent. I was very honest. I went to see the chairman in his office and I spoke to them all very honestly and very straight because that's how I like to work. And I'm still waiting for that contract to be put in front of me. And obviously when I approached him about the situation, I felt my position was untenable. He admitted that he's been chatting to another manager and it's gone from there. And that's where we are now.
And it's shocking stuff, to be honest. I do remember, I don't know why you remember this. I remember when we did speak, which we do all the time, Tim, so that's no big deal. But I remember when the club had offered you the new contract, I remember you speaking to me because you had spoken to another club. And to be fair, I think Wealdstone were well informed about that from you anyway. But I remember you saying about the new contract. I don't know why you remember what I said to you at the time. Do you remember what I said to you?
You remind me.
I said to you, get round there and get it signed and don't leave until it's printed and you've signed it. Do you not remember?
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah, I do. I just didn't want to say it on air.
That's the cynic in me, you know. And that's nothing against anyone at Wealdstone. I've been made feel welcome by everyone, so I don't want to put anything else on record. But the cynic in me says that when something like that's offered, you need to either turn it down or take it. But you were quite comfortable that and believed that it would happen, didn't you?
Yeah, well, it was a verbal offer. I felt I'd always had a good relationship with the chairman and the board, very clear, very transparent, very honest with them. And I thought they were with me. But obviously they weren't. So look, there's no hard feelings. I'm a better manager from this whole scenario, from this situation, and I'm raring to go again.
The last thing for me, the statement that I've only flicked over the statement, Tim, you just read bits of it, and you said that the uncontrollable controllables or something? What was that? You said that
controllable aspects of the first team, concerned about over controllable aspects of the first team.
What do you think that is, Dean?
Are you not allowed 12 people in the squad?
No. I seriously, what does what? Have you any indication as to what that would be?
Yeah, I know what it is, but there's no point in me going through it.
No, fine. Okay, I didn't understand it.
What it is. At the end of the day, football is about black and white. We won the title. Brilliant squad. You know, we've one player that the club accepted a large bid for, and he stayed, begged the kid to stay. This isn't long ago, and a very large bid from another National League side. I begged the kid to stay. He was offered over nearly treble his salary, because I know his agent, know the kid. And that's the loyalty that I think I showed and that player showed. Whether it's come the other way or not, well, it hasn't, let's be honest. So, look, it is what it is. They've made the decision. They backed me into a corner. And I have to be a man of integrity and a man of respect. And their supporters were nothing but unbelievable to me from the first day I went in there. They were brilliant. We got them all in it together. They were a 12th man on so many occasions. You think of some of the victories we've had. You know, how long has it took Wealdstown to get back to that level? And I had no doubt ever in this world that we were going to get 50 points. And I think that group of players will get 50 points. Great bunch of lads, walked their socks off, great team spirit. Even when we were losing, we were giving it everything. At no stage did they ever throw the towel in. We might not have the best resources or the best finances, but I tell you, we bundled our heart. And it's very hard to create heart and to get on this. And we had that up until the last few days.
And just on the, you know, I think he says, you know, you put it behind you quickly, and I respect you for that. And you makes you a better manager. Tell me how this makes you a better manager. Makes me a more cynical manager, if it's me. What have you gained out of it? Tell me what you've gained out of the whole thing.
The experience of the whole thing. I know where everything went wrong. I tried to control a few situations, which I didn't have control of. And when I look back at that now, I should have took full control of that at the time. And I never did that. And I'm kicking myself a little bit about that. But then again, one door closes, another one opens. And that's my philosophy in life. And I always say it all the time. Learn from yesterday, live for today, look forward to tomorrow. And there's some things in life money just cannot buy. And loyalty, it cannot buy, Dave.
Yeah, no, I... Well, that's one for me, Tim. Me and Dean have spoken since he left. It'd be wrong for me to say that we haven't. We've discussed different pieces of it. I am absolutely stunned. You know, I'm still stunned. And every time I speak to him, which is only twice, I think, since, I've been stunned listening to it. It's beggars belief, to be in all honesty. But I suppose that the last thing I've got to do is okay, you know, let's draw a line under it. We're not here to sort of crucify anybody. You know, that's your decision, you know, and I'm respecting it. Our decision is to get the news, and this is the news. What next? What happens now? What for you? What's next for you?
Keep researching players. You know, keep adding to my network. The next job I go into, I'll have to put together a different management team. There's no doubt about that. And you just learn from things, Dave. You learn yourself. You have to look at yourself. And look at myself. Did I make mistakes? Stockport. 5-2 we lost. We were 2-1 up in the 78 minute. I went 3-5-2. That was my fault. Poor. But I said that to the players after. When I look back, that was my fault tactically. You know, that was my... But then, in other games, I'm never able to question the players because they give so much commitment. And the key to that is very simple. You know, you look at yourself and learn from yourself. Nobody else, because there's only one person in life you can really trust, is yourself and your family. And, you know, it's a great learning curve. And I'm chomping at the bit to go for the next job. And we'll see what comes up in the next few weeks.
Yeah, you said your phone's already been busy. I guess that's lots of well wishes and just lots of people trying to find the full SP of things like that. There's so little football going on at the moment. Is that going to be your biggest frustration at the moment? Is that you're itching to go, but there's not a lot you can be doing?
Yeah, we just watch loads of games, National League games. Hopefully the North and South will continue as well. You know, watch League Two games, League One games. That's all the market of sort of where my managerial experience, you know, where I want to go to. So, yeah, I'll just constantly watch games on different platforms I have. So, yeah, it's... You never stop learning in this business, Tim. You never, ever stop learning, and that's so important.
And keep
that mindset.
So sorry, I was just thinking about the other side of it. You had some great days at Wealdstown. Talk us through the top couple off the top of your head, Dean, that will stick in that club's history forever.
I think having the way was a massive game. You know, to go 1-0 down in the first minute and then 1-1 and then 2-1 down and go win 4-2. And the most thing I'm proud of the players and the supporters, like, you know, someone like Billy Clifford, fantastic player, to get the best out of him. You know, he played for little or no money at the football club. He was a brilliant player for us. And just getting the best out of them lads who had really low stock. When they all joined, they were low stock players. I inherited two brilliant centre-halves in Conor Stevens and Jerome Akimo. We had a committee, Danny Green. The changing room was managed by Danny Green, Ross Lafayette, and Jerome Akimo. They were the committee. Everything went through them. They're fantastic old-school type players. And they gave everything to us. Turning someone like Danny Green, a technical player, into a grafter. You know, they're the bits I'm proud of. And obviously winning a title. Very hard to win a title, if not something pretty impossible. So I'm winning it in the story we did, the football we played, beating Bath 7-0. It was loads of great games. Beating Wrexham, first game back. You know, the first win back in the National League. And, you know, I wish the club all the success. I wish the supporters all the success in the world. It won't be easy. It's a relentless division. Relentless, with some serious budgets and some very good managers, by the way. You know, I think the Altrincham manager, Bill Parkinson, has done an unbelievable job, the way they play, the style they play. So, yeah, really good division and some great experiences in it.
And now you've taken a slight step back. You're still looking through a manager's eyes. But I suppose you've now got the opportunity to look, as Dave and I are, about the position the National League's in. As a football proposition at the moment, you're in the National League. There, it seems that the majority of clubs are keen to continue going forward as far as they can. It's a little bit of disarray with step two between North and South, because I guess it's finance is the big thing that's upsetting people. We had a conversation with Paul Doswell last week, and we've seen more discussions on social media in the last week about the testing procedure. Now, what was the testing procedure that you encountered in the National League?
Well, I tested the players. My company actually tested the players. So we have no testing procedure. When we got a COVID situation, Adrian, lucky enough, I had access to them tests through my company. So we did that as a company. But there's no procedure at this moment in time. And I think to solve that, if you look at 90% of footballers in the National League, and even down the North and South, they'll be part of the PFA. The PFA need to step up now for their members, like they've done in League One and League Two, and test them players at an elite level. They need to contribute to that. They're a massive rich union. They can come out smelling their roses. It looks great for them. It's a great PR stunt for them. And they've got the money to do it. Why wouldn't I'm part of the PFA? I'm an ex-professional footballer. You know, they helped me unbelievable, the PFA, when I went through some really tough times. That they sent me into Sport and Chance. Mentally, I went through really tough times a few years ago. They were brilliant with me, the PFA. They guided me. I got counselling. And it was all paid for by the PFA, which was great. So why can't they now pay for the testing for the National League players? That's one thing I think should happen. And testing should be mandatory, as simple as that. It has to happen because, we're living in the craziest world we've ever lived in since a long time. In their generation, definitely. And for me, will the government do a U-turn? There's budgets involved and different things like that. I don't think they'll do a U-turn personally. The National League, I think, wants to go ahead. A lot of ambitious people, chairmen and owners and managers in that level. And I think that'll go ahead. And they can't miss out on the two promotion slots to the EFL. You know, they've been pushing for three promotion slots. So if they miss out on that, they just look unprofessional and non-elite. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And are these the sort of conversations that you would have with other managers post-match, or is the COVID situation sort of stopped those sort of post-match conversations?
Yeah, after the game, I always invite, we had a big office, so I'd always invite people, and Dave's been in there. You know, when we played Weymouth, the Weymouth manager came in, to be fair to him. We had a chat with him. Some of them are doing it correctly. I know clubs like Chesterfield, they're literally testing every week. I think Barnet tests every week. So some are doing it, you know, the ex-professional league clubs, they're doing it. The clubs like the Wheelstones, the smaller clubs, it's much more difficult because it's finances.
But you think that really for non-league to move forward and to keep that professional elite status as it's claiming, that there needs to be some serious testing going on?
Yeah, definitely. And to be funded, the PFA can help with that. There's no doubt. You know, someone's got to speak to the PFA. Surely they should be in these meetings now. You know, in these board meetings and that. This is the fifth division. You know, if you look, 90% of the teams are full-time in the National League, spending serious money, not messing about. There's big clubs in there, ex-league clubs. Like, how can it be fair on Notts County, who are trying to strive to get up and spending what they're spending to do what they're going to do, you know, or trying to do, and or Torquay. Gary's done an unbelievable job at Torquay. They're flying. Can't be fair on them to go null and void, can it? You know, they're doing everything right. Obviously, the smaller clubs need a little bit of help.
So, what about Dean Brennan then for the next 7 days? What lies ahead for you?
I was in work today, all day today. Back in work again tomorrow, and have a good weekend with my kids. Nice, relaxed weekend. Hopefully, the weather's a bit better. Get out, get a bit of fresh air, and I'll watch the game tonight. Is it Chelsea Tottenham? And there's no doubt I'll catch a couple of games over the weekend and in the National League.
And is the National League still where your sights are set, or would you be prepared to take something lower or something higher? Or
look, I think you've got to have that conversation with the chairman and see what they want. Do you know what I mean? And you know, I'm not somebody that's going to roll up at someone's ground because a manager's under pressure. That's not how I work. You know, if someone wants to have a chat with me, they can have a chat with me. I like to walk straight and honest. And, you know, it's very key when you go into any football club, you get everybody in it together. Because when you don't get people in it together, stuff like this happens.
Yeah. Well,
that's a great point. That's a good point, that. That's a real point. You know, you never get success if you're not all together. And, you know, sometimes you're not even aware that you're not all together. But all your success, all the success I've had, we're all in the same place. You know, we're all pulling the same way. Any chink in that, and you've no chance.
Totally agree.
Well, no doubt you'll be pulling together a new team to work alongside in this next role. Dean, thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We wish you well in the new venture, and take care of yourself.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah, cheers, Dino. Thanks. I would like to say to Tim, you know, I talked Dean into this. You know, he wasn't sure of whether to do this at the moment. I felt it was in the bigger interest of the game and himself, because I just felt he'd nothing to hide and that people needed to know that. So if it goes the wrong way, if it goes pear-shaped for you, I hold my hands up. It was my fault. But appreciate you coming on, mate, as always.
Yeah, nothing's been said, Dave, that isn't true. So,
yeah,
you know how I am, straight shooter. At times, probably too honest.
Dave, always brave for a manager, you know, having had a fairly tumultuous week to then come on the show and speak to us and just be honest about everything.
Yeah, listen, you wouldn't expect anything else off him. And I think, if I'm being brutally honest, he trusts the fact that I'm his friend. And, you know, we're not going to look to take advantage of the situation. We just want the story. You know, so I think that you know, that's fine. The one thing I'd say, and I genuinely mean this, and I've said it before, not because I know him, but I think I said when he was at Hemel and things like that, this is a manager that's up and coming. I think the job he's done at Wisden is magnificent. And I've watched it at close hand on a shoestring budget. That's not disrespectful to Wisden. I'm saying on a shoestring budget for the National, on probably a bang average budget in Conference South. He's done a magnificent job, you know, and I'm stunned at how it's ended, but it's ended. And someone somewhere is going to be a very happy chairman. Because he's raring to go, you can tell. I think he every day is a school day, and he doesn't sort of get bitter and twisted about these things, which is fortunate for him. But someone's somewhere is going to get an unbelievably good young manager, and I think that when the dust settles at Wilston, I just wonder what the chairman and the board will make of how they've let it develop into the situation that it has. That's just my own personal opinion, you know.
Let's speak with our next guest. Someone who, at the start of the season, probably wouldn't have been expected to be up high, flying high at the top or second in the National League. But he joins us this week heading into the FA Cup Final 16 as well. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, manager at Sutton United, Matt Gray.
Hi, Tim. You're right. Hi, Dave.
Good to have you back with us, Matt. Now, let's start with the league. It's a weird world, but you guys have sort of kept your heads down. You've got on with what you needed to do. What, 18 games in now, second in the National League. Have these weird circumstances in which we're playing football, have they helped you in that regard to sort of get to that position in the league?
I'm not sure it's helped us. It's certainly been strange. I think it's been the same for most teams. Around October, November time, we played 8 games in 24 days, which was just relentless. And then we had one game in 4.5 weeks. So from going from one extreme to the other, really. But we got off to a good start and we've managed to keep it going. So I'm really pleased where we're at right now.
And it is still a very competitive league. You've got Torquay who are above you, but you close a gap during the week with your victory and a little slip up for them. But as a part-time club against all those full-time clubs and all the resources that are available, do you feel extra pressure or do you feel less pressure as a manager of a part-time club playing in that sort of role?
Yeah, I call ourselves sort of three-quarter time, if you like. We're, you know, part-time. There's a few teams who are the Tuesday, Thursday nights, which I could probably name three, I'd imagine, that do that. Then you've got, as you've mentioned, the full-time ex-Football League teams or teams who are training the four out of the five midweek days. We do three mornings a week, so we're sort of in between the two, I'd like to say, and there's probably a handful of teams who do the similar to us. So, yeah, I think with these amount of fixtures and the unique season it is and the amount of games that we've got coming thick and fast, you're not looking to get many training sessions into them. You know, it's literally just recovery, rest, do one training session before you go again on the weekend or come in on the Monday, do one training session before you go again on the Tuesday. So it's just making sure that we're ticking over all the time with the players and making sure they're as fresh as they can be going into each game.
And to be fair, Matt, nothing proves that more than the last three games you've had. You know, I've watched two of them. I watched the Wet Hartlepool. Who else were you away to?
Torquay.
Oh, Torquay. I watched the Torquay game. I didn't watch Saturday, which you won. Maybe I should stay away from you.
Yeah, make sure you don't watch the next one, Dave.
But listen, I have no need to watch any. One of our mates, Tim, one of my mates at the golf club, who got to know Matt Reevesy, is like the Sutton News, you know, Sutton.com. If you've scored a goal, I know before you know. He's on the phone to me, texting me, which is brilliant. And he sends his regards and all that stuff. But to have them three games in the spin, Torquay away, Hartlepool away, Stockport away, to come out with four points out of the three games, I think excellent. Watch the three games, or the two of the three, you got 1 point out of. And in all honesty, you could have taken another four. You could have taken 4 points out of that. It's such a tight league. But does that sum up the league that those three games away from home would look really, really tough on anybody's schedule? But every game's like that.
Yeah, it's so tight. As you've both said there, the league is so tight. There certainly isn't any easy games. You know, the week before we've watched Hartlepool. I think they're a great side and got some really good players and go and lose away at Weymouth. So it goes to prove that anyone can beat anyone on the day. I've never known a week like it, to be honest, with the amount of travelling that we've had to do in a 7-day period. You know, you're going down to the southwest, the northeast, and then back to the northwest on the Tuesday. It felt like I lived on that coach for a week, so it was relentless. But and not only the travelling, it was the toughness of the three games as well, playing first, second, and fourth at the time, and to pick up 4 points, I certainly would have taken at the start of that week. I felt we maybe should have had a bit more. I felt we deserved more out of the Hartlepool game, certainly. And maybe could have had one, maybe two more points on the board. But no, certainly pleased to get those journeys out of the way to get that week out of the way and to pick up the points we did over those 7 days. I'm really pleased.
And, you know, like everybody gives you the, well, we're just after 50 points. You know, once we get the 50 points, we'll rethink what we want. I'm not really going to accept that answer off you, because you're up in and around it. Now, what do you, and if you say you would take everyone as it comes, I'm not having that other, give me a proper answer to a proper question. How do you evaluate where you are now? What do you go for?
Where I'm right now, I'm going to go back and say to the, what the board would expect from me at the start of the season and where, what I said to the players, and I'm sort of, you're going to get annoyed with me saying it, but the first and foremost, let's make sure we're a National League club. Now, I'd have to do something considerably wrong to make sure that we're not a National League club now.
Listen, I could keep him in the National League from where
you
are.
Well, I don't know about that. Don't get carried away. So, secretly, where we finished the back half of last season and the run that we were on the last, you know, we played 38 games last year and the first 19 weren't good at all. The second 19, we were doing really, really well. And we've managed to continue that. So, secretly, you're thinking in pre-season, can you maintain that form from the second half of the season and can you be there or thereabouts? Well, we are there or thereabouts, but we're still not halfway through. Can we be in the playoffs? Of course we can, without a shadow of a doubt. And that's certainly got to be the aim and the goal of where we're positioned now. But there'll be a hell of a lot of teams in that chasing pack. And you can go right down the league, even to the likes of Yeovil, will still think, even after a poor start or a poor first half of the season, that they string a few results together and suddenly get within touching distance with 10 games to go. That anybody, you know, I'd say probably 80%, 90% of that league will still be thinking they can get in the playoffs. So as much as we're in a great position at the moment with 9 points behind Torquay, sitting in second place, 3 games in hand, it's all great. But there's a hell of a long way to go. We're playing Saturday, Tuesday, relentless. Like anybody, it's not just us. You're going to have to be fortunate with injury situations and making sure you keep key players fit. But we're doing incredibly well at the moment. We've got a great squad of players, great team spirit, and hopefully the results can just keep continuing and make sure we can be in and around it come the end of the season.
And how do you address that? Keeping everyone happy is a massive thing. And I know you will rotate because you have to, I think, in today's football. Two little part questions. One is that, how do you keep people happy? Have you got many knocking on your door not happy? And two, have you added to your squad in the window or in this period to I don't know, freshen it or do whatever you... Have you added to your squad? Are you looking to... So over the... Something like where you are now, looking till the run into the end of the season?
I don't particularly like having massive squads to deal with anyway, because you can have players not only being on your bench, but players being unhappy of not even being in your 16. So I haven't really wanted to go down that route. But then looking at from Christmas onwards, the amount of games we're going to have to play, I did bring in a couple to bolster numbers. And I've been very open and honest with the squad anyway. I'll pick a team that I believe will get the result for the next game. Now, whether I change that win, lose or draw of the previous result, I'll then pick again the team. Now, if there's a people are not happy, come and knock on my door and I'll give you an open and honest answer of why you're not in the side. But I've kept a pretty consistent team for the last 3 or 4 games. But again, going into the run we've got, the players are going to get minutes and their chance to try and stay in the team. So I've got a good bunch. They completely understand where they're at with everything. Would I like to bring one more in? Yes, I would. Probably one more. But with a little bit of uncertainty going around at the moment, I think the chairman would look at me if I'm nuts if I asked in front of a player right now. So I'm just holding fire on that question to him until we know we're 100% carrying on. So, it's just making sure that the players are keeping fit, the ones who haven't had many minutes, because they will be used and they will get their chance to play for sure.
Last one for me. Obviously, you go into the trophy this weekend. You're at a stage now where we're last sort of 16. Does that change your approach to, you know, I'm not saying you treat the trophy as a second class citizen, but in the early stages, I'm guessing it's not top of your radar. Does that change when you get to this stage of it?
I probably would have said it was at the top of the radar, Dave, really. The three major...
It's not like you'd disagree with me, is it?
No, it's the three main competition you enter, obviously. The FA Cup, obviously, we're never going to win that, but to try and put the club back on the map again, because it's got some great tradition in the FA Cup and some great runs that they've had over the years. But the biggest thing, the FA Cup, is obviously the financial rewards for what it is. So that was hugely important. And then the FA Trophy, with us being, you know, the highest league in it, it's a realistic and genuine chance to go and lead your team, as you know, Dave, out of Wembley. And I'd love to do that. And once we've had a game of golf, I can say I've led a team out as well as you, Dave, you know. So at the start of the season, the FA Trophy is a realistic opportunity of winning something. So that, as well as your league and trying to, can we maybe flirt with the playoffs and sneak into the playoffs? Well, that would have been great come the start of the season. The FA Trophy, I've taken seriously from day one. We had an extremely tough game away at St Albans, who I haven't lost other than an FA Cup game all season. So we managed to beat them away from home 2-0. We've beaten Dagenham at home, and now we find ourselves up against Woking, which will be an extremely tough game. But I'll be, especially in this run, I don't want to start making wholesale changes or tweaking things. We're good form. We're picking up good results, and I want another one, whether it's an FA Trophy game or a league game. I want to keep that momentum going, and we are three games away from playing at Wembley. So why wouldn't we?
And is it a slightly different feel, though, because it is FA Trophy rather than the, when you say you've had league games, bang, 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 bang. Does it have a slightly different feel about it? And is it different because there aren't any fans there as well? Does that make it more different as a normal cup game would have, that a little bit of added excitement to it?
Yeah, we'll try and treat it as another game. As I've just said to Dave there, Tim, you know, our preparation and everything that we do and our team selection will just be like it is another league game, if you like, trying to get the win and progress us through. But a cup tie certainly has a different feel amongst the supporters, women in a stadium, and being in the last 16 against the local club in Woking and a big following that they would have brought to the game, as well as the support that we're getting at the moment. There would have been a real big crowd there on Saturday, and it's just really unfortunate that the both set supporters can't be there, because it would be a really good atmosphere and certainly a cup feel about it. So that's a real disappointing factor. But no, we won't be treating the game any differently or as, you know, as we have done previously in the previous weeks.
And just to throw the cat amongst the pigeons, for want of a better description, you know, you've been successful over a period of a year and a bit now with the club, and you know, and if I'm being honest, and I know we're mates and we play golf and all that stuff, but it's a serious question. You're now going to turn up on other people's radar. The Wimbledon job's up at the moment. You know, why wouldn't they come and approach someone like yourself and Jason Goodlith, who was at the Wimbledon? Just as an example, you know, what would you, I'm not saying would you apply for it, I wouldn't ask you that question, but is that's got to be somewhere you're thinking about going, you know, into that level of football. What's your thoughts on that sort of that stuff when it comes up?
Yeah, the board of directors will be the first. They're the first people to know that I'm an ambitious young manager, and I want to manage in the Football League, and that is certainly a goal of mine, and I want to be a Football League manager. But I spent a hell of a long time being an assistant and doing my apprenticeship, if you like, 12 years of three different clubs. Not knew I wanted to be a manager, but certainly wasn't going to rush into that. Sutton have given me my chance. I'm now, what am I, nearly 18 months, nearly 2 years, it'll be in May, from being a manager. I'm learning every day. I've certainly learned through the bad run we had at the start. I'm certainly learning from us doing well at the moment. And I'm more than happy, appreciated for Sutton giving me the opportunity and the job. My relationship with Bruce, the chairman, and the board is excellent, second to none. And I'm so happy with what we've got here. One day, do I want to be a league manager? And hopefully there's clubs knocking on Sutton's door asking to speak to me. That would be lovely, because that means I've done well and that means the team's done well. But right now, I'm really focused on what we're doing at Sutton, and this season is really exciting on where we are. And I just hope we can continue that for the second half of the season.
And do you know what? And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I actually believe you. Because that's the chucked out answer that, you know, we would all say at particular times, it's always nice to be recognised and blah, blah, blah. But I actually believe that. I believe that's what you think. And I think you're right to think that. I think that what comes next will come next for you. But it's easy to get distracted, Matt, at this time when everybody's singing your name. Do you know what I mean? So I asked it for that reason.
Yeah, I believe we've got a good thing going here at Sutton, and everything's facing in the right direction. Supporters have been superb since I come in. The board of directors, The staff I've got working for me, as you mentioned, Jason, assistant, is just different class. The players that we've created and brought in, and the squad that we've assembled. Why would I want to leave that? I'm really, really happy with where we're going, and I want to achieve something. Can you know? I'm three games away from Wembley. We are sitting second in the league coming into the second half of the season. I'm loving what I'm doing at the moment, and yes, I want to be a league manager. But if I could, it'd be an absolute dream come true if I could be a league manager by getting a promotion rather than taking a job in it, and that would just be unbelievable, certainly with this club. But in years to come, if I had that opportunity, of course I'd look to take it. But right now, I'm extremely happy.
In terms of promotion, obviously the 3G pitch has been a debating point in previous years when Sutton have been up there in the playoffs. And any word at all from the EFL on that front? Is that something that the club would push? You wouldn't hold back on promotion if you're up there at the end?
No, of course not. No, it'd be really sad to rip the pitch up because it's the heartbeat of the community, and you know, the disabled teams using it, the women's teams using it, all the academy, the walking football. The use of the pitch is just used by everyone from Sutton and surrounding areas, and it'd just be a shame to take that away from the club and have to put down a grass pitch and the complications of having to move that. But you know, Harrogate had to do it. Would Sutton go and ask questions to the EFL again? I'm sure they would, but I'd be surprised if they changed their stance on it and their opinion on letting the 3G into a League Two, which I just can't see happening for the foreseeable future. But would we turn that opportunity down of Sutton United being a League Two team for the first ever time? Absolutely no chance. And we'd have to work around and deal with what we'd have to deal with on the pitch side of things, as well as other things. But for Sutton United to be a League Two club, no one at the club would want that or want to get in the way of that happening.
I think it's time as well. You know, we've been over this. We haven't spoken about it for a long time. But I think it's time for the league to accept 4G pitches in League Two. I genuinely do. I've watched games on them, including your place. I think the game's fine on them now. It isn't grass, but now there's a mud heap.
I think it helps with the spectacle of the game. You know, we went to Stockport on Tuesday with a real difficult pitch, and Hartlepool's was. And then, you get the quality of what you're watching better with on the surface that we're playing on. And then you've got the added thing of World Cup qualifiers being on there, Scottish Premier League games, Champions League games on there, but you can't play a League Two match on it. It's for small clubs like ourselves who use it as a main source of income and revenue for the club, to take that away is beyond belief. But as I said, I don't think I can see them changing that any time soon.
No, and just Tim, it's funny enough, I was speaking to Simon Bassey a few days ago, and I was talking about, I forget what team we're talking about, and he says, I like the football they played, you know. And he said, I bet you the train on 3G, because it encourages you to play football. You know, you trust it. You get to trust. You know, people want to play football, but when it gets this time of year on non-league pitches, you can't play as much football as you want to, because you have to trust the surface, and you can't trust it. So your game has to change accordingly.
Without a doubt. And not only just for that 90 minutes you're playing, but your training week as well can be affected so much. You know, when I was at Aldershot, we were ringing around sports centres and that, trying to get a five-a-side pitch to train in the morning as preparation, because the training ground's flooded. I think AFC Wimbledon even used our pitch a couple of times in the last week. So with the weather we've got at the moment, it really affects your training grounds and the facilities you've got at lower level clubs. And as I say, it'd be just such a shame if they can't reverse their decision anytime soon to let lower league clubs play with 3G.
Well, that's obviously a couple of months away, halfway through the season, as you mentioned, 16th last 16 of the FA Trophy. When you're now looking ahead for the, you know, it's going to be a busy run in towards the end of the season. Do you just play the same way that you've been playing, or are you going to? Do you now look at your tactics, your strategy for the remaining games, and trying to get the best out of all your players?
I wouldn't like to change the way I'm playing. We did slightly tweak a little bit at Stockport on Tuesday night after the back of the two long journeys and the teams that we played against. I like my teams to play on the front foot, Tim, and be aggressive and try and win the ball high up and play with a real energy and tempo about us, which is why I'm going to have to use them squad wisely. I dropped off a touch a little bit more against Stockport, but I think they've got the best players, them and Notts County, in the league, and the best squad, and they certainly tried to pass it under their new manager, Simon Rusk, and I was happy for them to let them have it in their deeper areas, and I didn't want to really go chasing them because I felt on that heavy pitch and the travelling that we've had, I thought it could take its toll pretty quickly in the game. But genuinely, now I feel we've got a hell of a lot of joy in the way we've played all season. And yeah, as I say, that slight tweak against Stockport, but I wouldn't want to look into change it. But I think we just look at each game as it comes and the tactics and each team, and just trying to adapt ourselves accordingly. But from the outset, more often than not, I want to try and be on that front foot and trying to get after teams.
Just a last little one for me. It just came up in your answer. You know, when you, not this early, but as you get towards the end of the season, you've been there, Matt, as a player and as a manager before. Big games become edgy and the atmosphere on the ground becomes hyped and can be twitchy at times. Do you think the fact that there's no one in the ground, that it obviously will change how it is, but is it better, easier, harder? Does it not change the mood? Do you understand what I mean? The big games, you know what I mean? Or is it just something you can't answer yet?
No, I think the fans, and this can work both ways for us, but I think the supporters in the ground make a huge difference to the actual game. The president or the chairman, I think, at Stockport spoke to one of our directors at a game, before the game on Tuesday night, and said, with the way this club's going and how we're doing and who we're playing tonight, there would have been 7,000 in here tonight. You know, so 7,000 in there on Tuesday night, and they start quite well for 10 minutes, then, you know, does that put us really on the back foot? Yeah. And does that really give their players a massive lift? On the flip side of it, when we take the lead 1-0, does that then turn the 7,000 on them? You know, are they now losing at home to Sutton? Are they getting more anxious trying to force it? And does that open it up for us?
Yeah.
It does certainly have a huge effect on the game, but to whose benefit? I don't know, you could probably look at it both ways, and it probably depends on how the start of the game goes, you know. And even Torquay the previous week, and even Hartlepool, you know, these three games, 7,000 at Stockport, there would have probably been 4,500 at Hartlepool, and there'd probably been 4,500 at Torquay. And I believe certainly that would, for a pro or a con, that would have had effect on all those three games without a doubt. But on the flip side of it, coming to our place and the atmosphere, we'd probably be getting 2,000, 2,500 at the moment. And us starting fast and coming out of the traps and scoring early, and hopefully they'd help us, you know. So supporters would definitely have a huge impact on these big games, and, you know, there still might be a chance in the last 2 months of the season that they might be in there for those games. So we'll have to wait and see.
Wow, that would be fun. That would change the ball game, as I say. Good answer. Good answer for you, anyway. Nah, good. I'm only joking.
I pay all very good answers, Matt, as ever. Mr. Laid Back, as ever. I'm yet to see you really, really wound up. I'm sure there are.
Come on, watch me at 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Hey, check our over a 4 foot putt to have the
man. I can see we may need to send him out with a GoPro or something, and maybe catch the real Matt Gray. But Matt, always a pleasure to get you on the Non-League Football Show. Best of luck at the weekend in the trophy and for the rest of the season in the league, and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Yeah, and to be fair, I have to get it in. There's no way I'm not getting it in. I remember coming down the steps at Wembley and Big Matt was there with a hug. Do you remember?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's hope we can do it the other way around.
Reverse it, yeah. That'd be great, yeah. Superb. Yeah. Brilliant. Cheers, Dave. Cheers, Tim.
You probably custard pie me.
Oh, yeah, I'll be with that. I don't need to know you anymore, Dave.
Nah, good to see you, big man.
Mate. Cheers, Dave. Cheers, Tim.
So let's round up this week's non-league news. It's back over to non-league paper towers, and a welcome back to the non-league football show to senior writer Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on. Good to hear that you're back on the mend.
Well, it's good to have you back on. It's good to have my partner in crime back on the line. Now, there's plenty that I did miss in the last week, but I guess the biggest news was the National League issuing these resolutions for the clubs to make their decisions on. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, that's right. The big vote came out on Monday. It was a little bit of a head scratcher at first, trying to work out what it all means. But no, effectively, it's almost sort of a vote within a vote, really. You know, the first resolution is to decide whether clubs want to vote separately in terms of separate steps 1 and 2 and vote on those seasons individually. If that vote isn't passed, then it goes to resolution 4, which is voting sort of as a whole what to do on the season. But I get the feeling that resolution 1 will be passed, so then it will be a separate vote between the two steps. So I think clubs want to have their fate in their own hands as much as they can in terms of deciding the season from that perspective. And then it will, providing resolution 1 is passed, it then goes to resolution 2 and 3, 2 being just for National League clubs in step 1, as to whether they want to end the season or continue. And that's the same for resolution 3, which is just step 2. So it could be a case that step 1 continues and step 2 doesn't. Could be a case that everything's wiped out and we have no more football until July or August time. So, an interesting, I'd say, probably a week ahead. Clubs have 28 days to get their vote back in. That's just for legal reasons, basically. That's just the way the league does things when it has a vote. But I think it's expected that, you know, those 28 days won't pass without a majority deciding on the vote. So I should imagine we should hear by the end of next week, I would have thought.
And after so many months of being unclear and unsure, it is, I think, one of the first sort of positive moves that we've seen in probably almost a whole year.
Yeah, it's perhaps sort of finally boiled down, all come sort of to a head, really, hasn't it? I think in terms of this vote, clubs will now know where they stand. That being said, whatever the vote is, not everyone will agree with it. Not everyone will be happy. If the season continues, then there'll be clubs who didn't want the season continue and may well have issues with financing player wages, etc., and getting hold of loans or getting hold of a grant. And equally, if the season is ended, there'll be complaints from clubs who wanted to continue and may well lose out on commercial deals and sponsorship deals at the club. There's the aspect of, what these clubs provide to the communities. So it's a difficult one, really, in the sense that, whatever happens, not everyone's going to be happy, although that has been the theme, really, for almost 12 months now.
Yeah, and I think the it's a clear cut, effectively, decision that's being made there, because beyond this, we've still got the debate, certainly lots going on in social media between different clubs putting their thoughts forward. There's the discussion about grants over loans, but there's also the issue of testing, which seems to be quite high on the agenda on for a number of clubs.
Yeah, it is, and some clubs have come out and said sort of they're not feeling safe now in terms of their staff and players fulfilling these fixtures, and sort of want it to change. I think it all sort of began really when the AFL, it was heard that they would be regularly testing at clubs after the PFA agreed to pay for their testing. Now, so far, that isn't the situation in non-league, although I gather there's been positive meetings about testing. But as we stand now, Thursday evening, there's no such news along those lines.
you know, of course, the ideal situation would be for that to happen and everyone gets tested once or twice a week and we go from there. You know, clearly, I think with this latest strain that's come out over the winter, which seems to have affected a lot more people and has taken the pandemic to new levels, you know, it's clearly seen as a big issue for clubs, and rightly so. And that's also part of it. So, yeah, there's sort of two ways of looking at it, really. Obviously, the funding saga and then obviously testing as well. Some clubs have now said that they will test their players going forwards. And others are saying, well, you know, we can't afford to do that. And unless, you know, there's some sort of funding coming, then you know, we're not prepared to fulfill fixtures. So yeah, that's the matter at the moment.
So still much debate going on, but we've got certainly a number of fixtures to be following. We've got the FA Trophy hitting the last 16 this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. The FA Trophy is going ahead. It's probably worth mentioning as well that obviously National League and National League North and South fixtures are being played. National League North and South have been suspended for the last couple of weeks, although that suspension is being lifted from Saturday. So those fixtures are expected to go ahead. Obviously, we have seen this week clubs saying that they aren't going, or some clubs saying that they aren't going to be playing on Saturday. So I would expect it to be a reduced programme of fixtures. But yes, there's also the FA Trophy in amongst that as well, as the competition sort of boils down to the later stages. So I'll be going to Havant against Notts County on Saturday, which should be an interesting one.
And obviously, every week we're still able to pick up our copy of the non-league paper, although not so many games to report on. What else can we expect to read in this weekend's issue?
Yeah, well, obviously the big headlines of this week has been the vote and the differing views of clubs on that. So we'll have all the reaction and thoughts from those different clubs in there. That's providing whether we don't get a vote before Sunday or even before Saturday, before those games are played. You know, it could well be the case that we don't have any games in the paper on Sunday. I hope not, but it could happen. We'll also have more reaction as well from around the pyramid. You know, it's been a very barren time for steps three and below, really, since probably about the end of October, start of November. So, you know, we're still keeping tabs on those leagues and those clubs and seeing what people are up to. So there's sort of something in there for everyone, really. Even if your club isn't still managing to play games, there's still plenty to read and brush up on in your relevant leagues.
Well, David, thank you as ever for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We'll look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks very much.
That's it for this week. Thank you to all of our guests and for everybody for listening. Thanks again for all your support in the last week or so. Hopefully I'm back nearer full fitness as full of fitness as I'm ever likely to get to anyway now. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season, joining throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Dave Anson's there at DaveAnson78, myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. The Non-League Gaffer Tapes will be back very, very soon. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
Moro Casino, a America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.